Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tip off with the FIBA Basketball World Cup for men, which is being staged in three countries, Japan, Indonesia, and the Philippines. In the Philippines, the five-time world champion United States advanced to the second round by trouncing Greece 109-81. The head coach of Team USA is Steve Kerr.
Our process every game is to wear the opponent down. You know, we're 12 deep on our roster, and we're just trying to stay solid on every possession and really put pressure on the opponent. And we needed to do that tonight because Greece played very well. You know, that first half, they stayed with us the whole half. As Jalen said, it's a good team, very well coached and tough physically, and we had to play very well. And eventually in the second half, we broke the dam and opened up the game.
Coach Kerr and the Americans will next play Jordan on Wednesday.
You know, we play Jordan next, and you know, we're excited to get another 40 minutes together. And this team was just put together 3 weeks ago. So every game and every practice is very meaningful. So we're excited for the next one, and we'll move on from there.
In the big win over Greece, Team USA showed off a balanced scoring attack. Four American players scored in double figures, led by Los Angeles Lakers guard Austin Reeves, who had 15 points. Three Americans scored 9 points each, and two others scored 8 points each. New York Knicks guard Jalen Brunson scored 13 points.
We're getting better, and we can start the game better. I think for us, it's all about a feel and how we just need to attack the game as soon as you step on that court. But I think the best part about it is that we're still a new group. We're still growing. We're still learning. And we still have a lot of time to get better before just the next game. So we're going to continue to do that. That's going to be our approach every time you step on the court.
Meanwhile, three African teams stepped onto the court Monday, and all three came away with victories. South Sudan beat China 89-69 in the Philippines. Cape Verde beat Venezuela 81-75 in Japan. And Ivory Coast edged Iran 71-69 in Indonesia. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the head coach of Cameroon's national men's basketball team, Alfred Aboya.
It's a proud reaction. I know when it comes to basketball, we're still far behind, but slowly we're working our way up. And that's just a testament how good the leagues are getting in the continent, how good the coaching are getting in the continent. It's only a matter of time till we can compete with those greater basketball team. And who knows, hopefully win major international competitions.
South Sudan and Cape Verde are making their World Cup debut. Are you impressed with their game so far in the FIBA Basketball World Cup?
I had a chance, or the privilege, I should say, to play against South Sudan in the World Cup qualifier. They're a really, 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 really good team. I'm not surprised at how well they're doing in the World Cup. Cape Verde is also a team on the rise. They have great talent, and it's a great team. So not surprised at all. Although it's their debut, they have veteran guys that play at the highest level, and they're not fazed by the size of the competition. So not surprised at all with the performances of those two newcomers to the World Cup stage.
Coach, do you think the African teams have chances of springing more surprises in the ongoing FIBA Basketball World Cup?
I think that as an athlete, when you step on the court, when you step on the field, wherever your playing field is, it's to win games. And I believe and know that all the African teams representing the continent at the World Cup, every time that they on the court and the ball is tipped, going to a game, they expect to win. I'm not gonna, you know, think differently or expect nothing less. Surprises, we won't call it like that. I know that every opponent, no matter how good they are, those teams will make the continent proud. So many more wins for African teams, yes, but surprise, I don't think I will, because I think they can.
That's Alfred Aboya, the head coach of Cameroon's national men's basketball team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Sporty greetings. This is Liz Mills, head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club of Côte d'Ivoire. You are listening to Sunnyside of Sports on the Voice of America.
This week on Straight Talk Africa, what is the fate of the Wagner Group now that the death of its leader, Yevgeny Prigozhin, appears to have been confirmed? The private military contractor has a strong presence in a number of African countries. Will this continue? For in-depth analysis, join me, Heidi Adams, and my guests on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Uganda won 2 gold medals at the recent World Athletics Championships in Budapest, Hungary. Joshua Cheptegei won his 3rd world title at 10,000 meters, while Victor Kiplangat won the men's marathon. Ugandan athletics officials say they're satisfied with the performance of their team in Budapest. Magume Davis Rakawinj joins us now from Kampala with more details. Sporty Tuesday greetings, Magume.
Sporty Tuesday greetings to Tosani and our listeners.
Kiplangat here, now beginning to forge a gap. And at last, his powerful, barrel-chested little Ugandan forges a gap on the opposition, on the chaser from Ethiopia. This man will have them punching the air and roaring him home in Uganda. Victor Kiplangat, Commonwealth gold last year, world gold this year. This has been a quite spectacular winning final lap from him, and he crosses the line in 208.52 to take world gold. He is crowned world champion. Another glorious day in the distance races.
Uganda marathoner Victor Kiplangat ran the best of his life to win Uganda a gold medal on the final day of the Budapest 2023 World Athletics Championships.
God has favored me. This is the dream I've been dreaming and I've been preparing. The race was actually tough somehow, but I was worried of Ethiopians, and I realized that when you prepare well and you be disciplined and you focus, my focus was to win a gold medal today in this city, and it has come to pass. My teammate Kisa, I didn't know that he fell down, but I thank God he has become among us the best.
Kiplangat clocked 2 hours, 8 minutes and 53 seconds ahead of Israel's Maru Teferi, who won silver, and bronze medalist Leu Gebrselassie, the Ethiopian. Another Ugandan, Stephen Chisa, managed to finish 5th with 2 hours and 10 minutes, just 2 minutes more than the winner, despite having fallen down as the marathon progressed. Uganda's first gold medal at this year's championships was won by 10,000 meters world record holder Joshua Cheptegei.
I'm very happy, of course, to have defended my title here again in Budapest. I want to thank God for always giving me the opportunity and the grace. I know that this wasn't so easy, especially with the injuries after the World Championship. And to come here and win the most special medal is phenomenal for me.
Mohamed Abdallah is the spokesman of the Uganda Athletics Federation.
We would have done much better if we did not get some of those challenges. Remember that before we set off, we had one of our medalists, a sure medalist in Kiplimo Jacob, getting that injury. And also the issue of where we had Kisa Steven in the marathon falling. So we would have done much better. And I think we're satisfied with the performance.
There were other remarkable performances at this year's championships, including former championship winner Halima Nakai, who managed an eighth finish in 800 meters. A race won by East African compatriot Kenyan Mary Mora. Stella Chesang ran the 10,000 meters finals, while sprinter Tatis Orgot ranked 10th overall in 200 meters category. Mohamed Abdallah says the championships helped the country to better prepare for the 2024 Paris Olympics Games.
Good thing is that a good number of them who went to the World Championships have already qualified for the Olympics. So those ones who have already qualified for the Olympics, they only need to have proper preparations. And we hope that others will also qualify to see that they perform better. We know people like Orogot Tassis. I think he's fired up in the sprints, and he has even promised that by the Olympics he'll be able to do better.
20 athletes in both short and long distances represented Uganda at the Budapest meet. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. It's day two at the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament in New York. For a look at the day one highlights, here's the AP's Graham Agars.
Coco Gauff has survived a first-round scare at the U.S. Open, the sixth seed coming back after losing the first set against Lara Siegerman, taking 2 hours and 50 minutes to win 6-4 in the third. Gauff was constantly frustrated by Siegerman's slow play tactics that earned the German two warnings, but in the end she got the job done. Gauff was joined in the second round by a host of fellow Americans, including Francis Tiafoe, Taylor Fritz, Daniela Collins and Mackie McDonald. 36-year-old Novak Djokovic also posted a day one win in his quest for a record 24th Grand Slam title.
At 36, you know, still have the drive, you know. And I love competition. You know, I think the more you find yourself in those particular circumstances where you're experiencing adversity on the court, where things are not maybe moving the right way for you in terms of the performance of that day in terms of tennis, or mentally you're not feeling your best, that's normally the, you know, the best possible opportunity for you to grow.
I'm Graham Agars.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. Heather Maxwell, I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. In terms of athletic destinations, let's run back to the recent World Championships in Budapest and look at another African highlight. This one from an athlete who competes in the triple jump. Burkina Faso's Hugues Fabrice Zongo soared to victory in the men's triple jump for his country's first ever gold medal at the World Championships. Zongo had a winning distance of 17 meters 64 in Budapest, Hungary. He won the silver medal at last year's World Championships in the U.S. city of Eugene, Oregon. And Zongo was the bronze medalist at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. After his gold medal-winning jump in Budapest, Zongo was asked, "What does this world title mean to you?"
It means more than what I can say, I can tell you, no. And for me, personally, it's just amazing because I dream it of it so hard, and so it. This put me in a kind of pressure, you know. So this is why today wasn't easy for me to produce some great performance. So It's mean a lot for me. It's really mean a lot for me. So just now, I don't think about future. I don't think about past. I just think about this moment.
World triple jump champion Hugues Fabrice Zongo says he believes there's a party atmosphere now in Burkina Faso.
Ah, okay. In Burkina Faso, it's just like a festival now. And I think that when I will go back in Burkina Faso, I will just be the king. Yes, it will be great there. Yeah.
Two Cuban athletes, Lazaro Martinez and Cristian Napoles, won the silver and bronze medals, respectively, in the men's triple jump. In the women's 100 meters in Budapest, American Sha'Carri Richardson won the gold medal, crossing the finish line in 10.65 seconds, the fastest race of her life and a world championships record.
I don't even know what to say. It's surreal. I think in the morning I'll probably feel it. But it feels amazing just knowing that not only people see me as an athlete, but they see me as a person. I feel like that's my biggest thing more than anything. I want people to see that it goes beyond an athlete. You bring who you are onto the track. You bring your athlete into your life. There is no separating, honestly. So I'm glad that I can display who I really am, not my pain, not my sadness. I'm glad to sit here and be happy with whole and just knowing that it all paid off. I would say going into finals, just knowing that qualifying, surviving each round, getting into the final round, knowing that all the heavy hitters are going to bring that best A game. So it helped me pull out my best A game for myself as well, sitting next to literally legends. It feels remarkable. I just knew in my mindset I had to come with it because they're going to come with it. So I was prepared, and I'm grateful.
Sha'Carri Richardson sprinted past two Jamaicans in the race, Sharika Jackson and two-time Olympic 100-meter champion Shelly Ann Fraser-Pryce.
I guess first I want to say congrats to Sha'Carri and Sharika. It was really a fantastic race. I said to her earlier that last year I ran the 100 in a championship record, and it took a championship record tonight, so that's really remarkable. And for me, I think it's knowing that I can do more. That's really what keeps me grounded and, you know, continuing to work and to chase after medals and gold medals and running fast. And for me, it wasn't the year that I wanted in terms of, you know, starting and injuries. But I think champions show up no matter what.
Meanwhile, in the men's 110 meters hurdles in Budapest, American Grant Holloway won his third world title with a time of 12.96 seconds.
It was good. Obviously, I got the gold. The main thing was is really just to come out here and execute and make it happen. Overall, I've been consistent this whole season, so I'm really proud with that. I did what I set out to do is win this title. And next year, I start shifting my focus to everything else.
That's three-time world champion Grant Holloway of the USA, who successfully defended his title in the men's 110-meter hurdles at the World Championships in Budapest. And I'm sure Grant's focus next year will be the Paris Olympics. He was the silver medalist at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter, handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news, for world news, Go to voanews.com. Ghanaian businessman and sports administrator Herbert Mensah is the new president of Rugby Africa for the next 4 years. VOA's Peter Clotty asked Mensah about his vision and plans for Rugby Africa.
Well, I think the vision for me is really quite clear. I have a history within sports administration. The last 20 years of recognizing one fundamental thing, and that is that sport is big business. I think that it might seem like a blasé thing to say, but I think that the problem that we have, mainly in Africa, but around the world, because it's not only restricted to Africa, is that sports administrators see it purely as a job. And I think when you take that, you have sports administrators, they understand that the issue of raising money in an ever-changing dynamic world is critical. Sports is not like it was in the old days. And Africa is a little bit behind in understanding that a supreme athlete these days trains and lives for the sport, nutrition, training, Medicare, the psychological approach, and then competing regularly, as well as managing themselves through that to be able to peak at relevant times, is what makes great sports personalities. In Africa, we still have situations whereby there is not enough funding, and therefore it is that people put on a shirt, a set of boots, and then they go and play. It's just simply not good enough. Africa, as we know it, have the world champions in this great sport of rugby. Don't forget that second to soccer, rugby is just about the biggest global sport. It might be difficult for some people in America to recognize that, but outside of you'll find that it is played on all four corners. So the fundamentals are understanding that sport is big business, and therefore we have to change the dynamic of relationship with our global body, our relationship with others, and look at means of raising that whilst trying to make sure that it becomes the alternative sport to soccer across the continent of Africa.
So let me ask you, you're talking about sports being a business. That means you have to change mindset, or you have to help people to realize and come around to your vision. How do you plan on doing that?
Well, you're absolutely correct. That is the word that I have used before I came to office and since. That is a change of mindset. That is a major issue here, because we have to look at it two ways. I'm calling for a change of mindset internally first. Internally. I'm not one of those who says the world owes us. Nobody owes anybody in this dispensation. So we need to change internally the mindset. It means within Rugby Africa, there's a big shakeup. Are the right people in the right place? Do we need different people in? We need to get people who really appreciate that bottom line. If it is that our global body give the whole of Rugby Africa, and that is all 30-something states in Africa, $2.5 million a year. You know that cannot even run one federation, and that's what we're coping with for 30-something federations. It means that we need to change our mindset internally to say that we need to go out there and look for money. We need to look and understand that the dynamics of doing business in Africa is different from the rest of the world. Because if you're in America, you can get one broadcaster and therefore go for TV rights across the whole country. If you're in Europe, you can do the same, whether it's Sky, Canal Horizon, or something of the sort, Star TV in the Far East. But in Africa, with its colonial links, French operate differently from Anglophone, West operate differently from East, Arabs in the North operate differently from the South, so you can't take the great game and go and get TV rights and raise money through the traditional channel. You have to be completely different in your mindset. So we're looking for internal changes to recognize that. Recognize that the world is moving on. After all, with rugby, they're now coming to invest in North America. And we shouldn't forget that North American rugby itself, their finances have not been great over the last few years. Whereas in Africa, we've always kept our books 100% as they should be. And yet it is they've moved on. And yet it is that we're still expected to manage our affairs. So the relationships we then have, once you have the right people in place, which is what we're trying to do now, with World Rugby, with the RFU, with FFR. When I say RFU, that's the English Rugby Football Union, which we're about to start. FFR, which is the French Rugby Federation, with the AU itself, African Union, to put rugby on the curriculum for schools in some format or other, and the others in terms of their funding programs directly through their existing sponsors or through the development agencies who are actually spending money in Africa for training and such like. We need to be in a position where we understand that funding now have come from alternative sources.
Now, Herbert, how do you intend engaging respective governments in Africa to actualize this dream? Because, as you know, in Africa, governments play key roles in how administrations are run, or even, you know, any business or entity, sports-wise, are run in their countries across Africa.
You're absolutely correct, and I think this is something that I've come in and I've had to bring in my past experience from running Kumasi Asante Kotoko to the world of rugby to understand that we need, if you're not politically linked, then you are compromised. And I think that the leadership of rugby generally across Africa is not politically linked, and that the challenges are there. It is not like, as I said, if it is Patrice Motsepe, who are wealthy in their own right, the owners of TP Mazembe and all the other massive clubs across Africa, they are either massive business entities unto themselves, or they have the political wherewithal to move forward. I've been in office now for 4 to 5 months, and what I've done in this time period is engage presidents and ministers in sport so far in 7 countries, and I'm on a mission to get through all of those who are ready to do business. We now have some. I sat recently with the Honorable Minister and Cabinet Secretary in Kenya, and I have so much respect for them. And I said, we need to move forward in a different way. If it is that Africa is going to compete, then the major nations need to increase the number of international matches they play. We can't be in Africa with no budget, and then it is a great nation like Kenya plays only one test match a year, or 2 test matches a year, when its competitors in Europe, for example, are playing 8, 10, 12, 14 test matches a year. It makes no sense. And whilst we grapple with what we do with World Rugby, we do need the involvement of government to be able to pay hosting rights and to support the development of rugby in their countries to move forward, to build rugby pitches. I mean, you'll be surprised that across Africa there are not many nations with dedicated rugby pitches.
I was about to ask you about infrastructure. You know, how are you going to go about it?
Absolutely. It's just down the same line. So what we have, for example, in Ghana, we've been lucky enough that His Excellency Nana Akufo-Addo has started construct of a dedicated rugby pitch at Legon. I've been to inspect it with my representatives from Africa and World Rugby. It is up to standard. So we have that in Ghana. In Kenya, the government has also leased off land specifically for that purpose. And throughout Africa, that process has started. In Zimbabwe, they have. In La Côte d'Ivoire, I spoke to the Honorable Minister, who assured me that they were building 7 or 6 new stadiums for AFCON, and they would dedicate some for the development of rugby.
That's Herbert Mensah, the new president of Rugby Africa. And he spoke with VOA's Peter Clotie from London. And that wraps up the August 29th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.